Welcome to the Open House Podcast. Conversations exploring life, faith and hope with Stephen O'Doherty.
Well, New Zealand politics have been a wild ride in recent months leading up to their national elections yesterday. In early August, the New Zealand Labor leader resigned suddenly and a young, untested politician, 37-year-old Jacinda Ardern, was passed what was assumed to be a poison chalice leading the opposition party against the incumbent Prime Minister Bill English and his National Party. Well, Labor's polling had been on the slide, but Jacinda Ardern was a surprise popular hit and gave rise to the term Jacinda Mania. But despite performing really well up to the last week or so, things started to fall back in place for the Nationals. And last night, or yesterday, was their election day. But, of course, things are way more complicated than that. Their mixed member proportional system means we won't have a result for some time. So we're joined now by the Chief New Zealand Political Correspondent for Sky News, and that's James O'Doherty. And yes, that is a relation. He's my son. Hey, Jamie.
Good afternoon, or good evening, rather.
Good evening. Sorry about that. I didn't introduce you the way I said. Good evening, Mr. O'Doherty.
Good evening.
Hey, you had a great coverage last night. Congratulations. It was really entertaining watching your coverage on Sky with your TV3 partners, because the election over there is different from the way it rolls out here, isn't it, with the MMP system?
Yeah, look, there are some significant differences. It's not too difficult to understand when you put some thought to it. Look, you get two votes in New Zealand, your party vote and your electorate vote. Now, that's broadly similar to a lower house vote and an upper house vote.
Although they've only got one chamber. It's a unicameral parliament, yeah.
Indeed. So a unicameral parliament, so your house of review, your upper house, is all contained within the mixed member proportional system, which is where you get these minority governments forming. So when you go to the ballot box, you cast your party vote. That's the important one. That gives each party the proportion of the seats in the 120-seat house. Now, the proportion of the seats that they are allocated or that they get from the party vote, you take away from that the electorates that they win in their own right, and then you fill the rest down from the list, from number one on the list down to wherever you get to, much like you would elect a Senate ticket. So that's where you get your MPs from. Now, that leaves us with a system in which parties will get, for example, National looking to get 58 seats in this 121-seat house. Mm. Labor looking at 45 seats. Neither of those parties can form on their own right. They need the support of other parties, minor parties, in this case New Zealand First and Winston Peters, to form that coalition or competence and supply agreement to get their bills passed and to form the government.
So just before we come to those various options, just to note that, in fact, the results still won't be known for a while, because you've got special votes, and that includes a really large number of votes of New Zealanders living in Australia.
Yes, that's right. These special votes won't be counted until October 7, and they include all the votes for Kiwis living overseas. Now, there are 600,000 thereabouts Kiwis living in Australia, so all their votes would have been cast as special votes. So there are still a couple of 100,000 of these special votes that we still don't know the results of. We'll see those results in a few weeks, which is when we'll really start to see some of the indications about what government we might see in New Zealand.
The number of votes may not change the proportions enough, but in any case, I gather people are not waiting until then before they start looking for coalition agreements to be formed.
Well, look, Labor is hoping to pick up one, maybe two seats in the House. They say that these special votes will probably break their way because they include Kiwis living overseas. Also, a number of younger Kiwis, people who are enrolling and voting on the same day this year in early voting. So Labor believes they will break their way. They won't get too many seats out of it, maybe one, maybe two. The early negotiations will be starting tonight or tomorrow, but formally they are still saying, both parties, National and Labor, are still saying that they do need to wait until those results come back before they do any proper deals. And most importantly, Winston Peters and New Zealand First, he's not ready to make any decisions until those special votes come back either. So we will see some early negotiations and nothing formal until after then.
Yeah. So tell us a bit more about Winston Peters. He was a national member, wasn't he?
He was a national member. Interesting fact, Bill English was actually involved in expelling him from the party when he was expelled from the party maybe 20 years ago.
Okay.
So that's an interesting fact to consider when we go into these negotiations. And he has animosity too on the Labor side, I should say. Whilst there was a falling out with National, there was also a falling out with Labor when he was effectively sacked from Helen Clark's government. He was, you know, the Deputy Prime Minister as part of a government here in New Zealand.
A coalition deal, yeah.
But was sacked. So, look, there's animosities, but also friendships on both sides.
Well, what does he stand for?
Look, he's a very populist politician. Essentially, you'd consider him as a Pauline Hanson, he has been compared to. Look, that's an unfair comparison to Winston Peters. He's been around a lot longer than Pauline Hanson.
Yes,
so
yes,
you could say
has.
That Pauline Hanson is Winston Peters' life. But a protectionist politician, a populist politician with a bit of the Nick Xenophon retail politics thrown in, maybe a little bit of the Clive Palmer type shenanigans that we've seen from him. A very populist and protectionist politician that wants to, is anti-trade, anti-immigration, big government, things like that.
Yeah, we're joined by Sky News Bureau Chief in Wellington, James O'Doherty. I guess no one really wants to call it, but it would look from this side of the Tasman as though the National Party will be returned in a coalition agreement. Lots of caveats in place there. If that's the case, what implications does it have for Australia and our relationship with New Zealand?
Well, look, this is an interesting one. Australia's relationship is close enough that the changing government will not really change the relationship between Australia and New Zealand. There has been a lot of work done between both Bill English and Malcolm Turnbull, both at a personal level, they text quite a lot, but also on an international front. Bill English has been pushing the Trans-Pacific Partnership. This one, without the United States, New Zealand has been at the forefront of pushing that one through. That will continue if National do form government. That will change if Labor forms government, though. They want to renegotiate the TPP. So that will be an interesting one to watch from Australia's perspective if Labor gets in. Another thing that could change if the government does change here in New Zealand is the fact that Australians in New Zealand might have to pay more for university. You know, there's a plan in Australia for Kiwis to pay more for university if this bill passes the Senate. Jacinda Ardern, she has committed to retaliating, making Australians pay more if that passes. So nothing much will change.
And no love lost there since that whole issue about Barnaby Joyce, but that's a story for another day. They basically thought the Labor Party was conspiring against them. James, this Jacinda Ardern has become quite a star, just popped up suddenly, and she must be a leader for the future.
Absolutely. The view within Labor is that she will be the next Prime Minister. If it's not in the next few weeks or a month now with the coalition negotiations, they will still run with her as leader in 3 years' time. It is their view that she is there for the long haul. She's only 37, but she has been in Parliament for 9 years. She was always tipped to be a leader. It was thought that if Andrew Little lost this election, the previous leader, Jacinda Ardern, would be the front runner for that leadership position. So she has been around for a little while, but her critics will point out that even in Parliament, she doesn't really have any policy achievements to point to. She doesn't have a signature policy that she pushed through the Labor Party caucus or championed in opposition. But look, she has been very popular and done a lot to energise the electorate here in New Zealand and also create all of this excitement that we're seeing both here and overseas.
You do wonder if there's a lesson there for Bill Shorten and Labor in all of that as well. Just finally, you've got to know the Prime Minister, Bill English, pretty well. What sort of a fella is he?
Look, he's really come into his own on this campaign, actually. He was always thought of as a bit of a wooden politician, a policy wonk, as they say, being second fiddle to John Key and his agrarian nature. But on this campaign, he really has hit his stride, going out talking to regular New Zealanders and learning a bit about retail politics. He admits that he actually really likes it. He didn't think that he'd be any good at it. Now, the point was made to me from a senior National Party source that it seems that Jacinda Ardern may have just brought out the best in Bill English during this campaign.
Well, indeed, it's also brought out the best in Sky News and their bureau chief. Can't help being just a little bit proud. James, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Discover more Open House podcasts at openhousecommunity.com.au.